The scripture is read from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank.
Welcome everyone this evening. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us this evening. And as I bring you a lesson this evening from the Lord's Word, I'd like to thank the song leader. The last song we selected was perfect. And also for the scripture readings, Sherman, thank you for that. This lesson is entitled Wrestling with the Divine. And if you're not familiar with what wrestling is, it's a sport. Often between two men who both want to be the best at what they do. And they are striving to win a contest between them of physical prowess. We have members of this congregation who have wrestled and who have had children who have wrestled. And so they may know a little bit about wrestling, but if you're here tonight and you don't know about wrestling, you just know that it's more than just physical. It's a mental thing almost as much as it is mental. This is a historical incident that we read about in the Bible. But it has a spiritual meaning behind it. Jacob's wrestling with the mysterious being is typical of the struggle of an earnest soul for the higher and better life. The song On Higher Ground. We as Christians are faced with that struggle to attain a higher ground. Our home, which is in heaven. And not only that, but a better life while we're here on earth, because we live the way that God would have us to live. It is a picture of a prayerful soul holding on to God for a blessing. Jacob, With this story, we are reminded that prayer is a struggle. It is taking a grip on the power in whose hands we have already found ourselves in. You know, as Christians, we've already come to God. We're already in His presence. And the avenue of prayer is the one that we have to approach Him and to come before Him and in many ways to wrestle with Him about things. It's a feeling after God. When men are wrestling, they reach out for one another and they try to grab one another in such a way as to gain control of the situation. We seek to know more about God in our prayers. We need God. God doesn't need us. So the struggle begins, aligning our will with His. God wants us to grope. We could look in the book of Acts, chapter 17. If you would mind turning there with me. Acts 17. Acts 17 and verse 24 through 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven. And earth, and does not live in temples built with hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our own being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. So God wants us to seek for Him. He wants us to grope for Him. He wants us to grab for Him. And we do this in prayer. If you don't reach for God, you won't reach God. This is the way a match begins. One opponent reaching for the other. Wrestling move on to the next one. Prayer is a lonely struggle. Wrestling is an individual sport, if you didn't know that. You don't have a whole team. Now, you may have a team in the back rooting for you, but when you're out on the mat, it's just you and your opponent, and there's no one there to help you if you make a mistake, unless your opponent makes one to counter it. So you're on your own. It's a lonely struggle. Jacob was left alone. In Matthew 6, verse 6, the Word of God says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you do or sees what is done in secret will reward you." The earnest heart withdraws from the world. Now, I'd like to define that word for you, earnest, because I think it's important. If you don't understand it already, earnest is resulting from or showing sincere and intense conviction. It's also a serious and intent mental state. So this is not something that we enter into lightly. Of someone who's earnest is sincere, is dedicated. The earnest heart withdraws from the world and thinks only of God in prayer. That's not to say that that's exactly what we do when we're having a prayer amongst the congregation or at a dinner meal, or, But when we go to alone to pray with God, the desires of the heart are unknown to all except God. Now, this could be unnerving to some, knowing that God knows and sees your heart. He knows what's in your heart. It can be a real challenge if you have an impure heart. Not that you cannot overcome an impure heart, but because you can overcome it. The earnest heart really wants to do what is right. It needs to be flexible for a counter movement. We could look at James 1:25. If you would, please turn with me to James 1:25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So, in wrestling, there's no one to blame. And if we don't approach God with that earnest heart, there's no one to blame. And if we look into the perfect law of liberty and we see the changes that need to be made in our life and we're unwilling to make them, there's no one to blame. We're reminded that prayer is a desperate struggle by this event. He, the angel, God, saw that he prevailed not against him. Jacob, that is. Jacob was a worthy opponent. He was a worm. He was a good wrestler. He was prevailing with God. Can you imagine? It is a spark of divinity in man himself that causes him to match the Lord. That being said, to each one of us here, when is the last time you expended yourself in prayer? I mean, I can only imagine how Jacob must have felt at the end of this match. And we're not there yet. But he really expended his energy in this match. When you go to pray, do you do that? I asked the question, when was the last time you expended yourself in prayer that you only had enough energy left to hold on to God when you were done? I don't think I've ever walked out of a prayer sweating, but I've been pretty close a few times. Jacob had a lot of things going on in his life. You know, if you look back in the chapter before that where he was, what he was doing, he was going to go see his brother who he was afraid his brother was going to kill him. So he had people that wanted to kill him or deserved to kill him almost. He was in fear of his life. He had, I'll tell you, one other thing it said that we read was he had two wives. That's a lot of trouble. One is hard enough. He had two. He had maid servants. He had 11 sons. Can you imagine 11 sons? How much trouble that would be? I think Kelsey's got her hands full with three. I don't know how he was hanging on at the end of this. But I'll tell you this. He was not a quitter. He didn't give up. But he needed to work things out with God. He was in a desperate struggle. I personally don't know how the godless manage. I personally, it's beyond me how godless people manage in life. I guess a lot of them don't. But life is hard with God. It's impossible without him. Sometimes we need a serious talk with God. Sometimes we need that. You know, I lost my mother a long time ago, and my father a while back, and I've lost other loved ones. And I have a wife I can talk to about things. But there's certain things that wives and brothers and sisters don't understand, but God does understand. And he's there for us when we need him. We're reminded that prayer is a revealing struggle. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was strained as he wrestled with him. When we wrestle in prayer, our weaknesses are brought to light. You can see that in verse 31. We tend to expose our strengths and cover our weaknesses or hide them. But prayer is a time of humility. God knows our weaknesses already. He knew where Jacob's were. We would do well to confess them and seek his help to strengthen them. Remember, this is a quality conversation. And, remember this. A quality conversation has two sides, speaking and listening. And God speaks to us through his word. We're reminded that prayer is a persistent struggle. Man said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Though Jacob's thigh was strained so that he could not wrestle, he clung to the angel. When we are too weak to struggle, we can, like Jacob, cling to the Lord. I said before, Jacob was no quitter. Jacob was in pain, but he was not giving up. Why that is when we need to trust God the most. That is when we need to trust God the most. When, not when it's time to quit, when we're in pain and when we're hurting. That's time we need him the most. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." It's times that we are truly tested and tried that we need to turn to God and to lean and cleave onto him, and not on our own understanding. We need to always remember that prayer is a victorious struggle. That though the divine antagonist refused to reveal to Jacob his name, he blessed him there. Jacob became a new man. His name was changed from Jacob, which means supplanter, to Israel, which means prince with God. A change in name signifies a change in character. With him, old things were passing away, and all things were becoming new. When you pray, do you come out a new person? Have you listened to God enough to change? To make the changes that are needed. God revealed himself to Jacob. Jacob says, "I have seen God face to face." It is during earnest prayer that we see God through the eye of faith. No, we don't see physical God, but we see the Spirit through the eye of faith, and we are changed by that vision, or at least we should be. Second Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. When we turn to God in prayer, in reading His Word, and making application to our life, we become more like Christ in the things that we say and do. You know, the Bible tells us in John 9:31 that God does not listen to sinners. He hears not their prayers, but He listens to the godly man that does His will. So if you're here tonight and you've not submitted to His will, we have an opportunity this time for you to make things right with God. If you've not engaged in that struggle, that wrestling with the divine, there's an opportunity for you to begin that match. And the door is open at this time. If you would want to make your heart right with God, please come forward and stand while we sing the song that's been selected.